First of all, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you. It's a very big plus to give in this holy makom, Beis Knesset West Hempstead. What's it called?
West Hempstead
Torah. West Hempstead Torah Institute. You know, it's like the Kaisel. You have people, as you walk in, you have people asking you for your donations. Rosh Hashem, it's like gonna. It's like,
we don't get ordered now, really.
The Marsha says that eventually, the Marsha and Megillah says that eventually all of the Bate Knesios, all the shuls and Bate Midrashos are going to be elevated and taken to Yerushalayim. So I see that this Makom Torah already has a head start, where we have the Mishulachim outside, Baruch Hashem. And we was able to Mekayim already, call a Poshet Yad Nosen Lo. That you stick out your hands and you're able to give tzedakah. Anyway, so Hashem is so good, because I gave one shiur on Sunday. I said, you know what, I'll give a new shiur. And this sneak preview of the Sefer came out. Sneak preview. So it's here on the little corner, right? It's like, you know, you get these sneak preview editions. It says, Madurim Yuchadis Mitocha Sefer, She'asid La'aseh La'or. That this is a Sefer written by Rabbi Yeruch Olson that eventually is going to come out. It's not out yet, except in, so you get the trailers. And this is a fantastic trailer in terms of getting our mindset together for what Purim is all about. It's a good thing, you know. So anyway, so Rabbi Yeruch Olson, who I have all of his farm on all the Yom Tovim, Purim didn't happen yet, so it was just on Thursday. My chavrusa showed up and said, I got this in the mail. So I said, okay, I give it a whirl. And the second shtickle in here I thought was remarkable, something I wanted to share. And of course, it was very serendipitous that Ben invited me to come give shiur here, so I had an opportunity to share this Torah. Okay, so let's begin. The Gemara in Megillah famously says, right, this is not Avdalah. But it's a pasuk in the Megillah that to the Jews there was joy and there was light and joy and sasin and splendor. So Amar Yehuda, Ora Zu Torah. Famous. That every drasha on Purim that you start to hear at the Purim Suda, which never finishes, begins with this one. Ora Zu Torah. The Or that we're reflecting in the pasuk reflects the Torah. V'cheinu Omer. Similarly, Kinei Mitzvah. The Torah Or. That's number one. Simcha is referenced to Yom Tov. V'cheinu Omer. He quotes the pasuk in Dvarim. V'samachta b'chagecha. Sasso in the pasuk is referring to Mila, Zumila. The Chayin Omer says in Tehillim, Sas Anoki Al Marsecha. That Sas is referenced to Mila. And finally, Vikar Elu Tehillim. Vikar references Tehillim. The Chayin Omer, Ru'u Kalamei Aretz, Kishema Shanikra Alav, Viyiru Mimacha. Okay, so we have these four ideas represented in Laihudim Haitza Orv and Simcha Vasas and Vikar. At the end of Purim, we had all of these elements. I think it's the Sfas who famously asks, why doesn't it just say Lahudim Haitza, Torah, Tefillin, Yom Tov? Why do you have to hide it behind the Or? Just say what it is. So the Sfas Emes is a gewaldic answer. The Sfas Emes says, because really what's the objective of Torah? To see the light of Hashem. What's the objective of Tefillin? To get to the splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it was so sharp right after Purim that we were able to get directly to the light. You know, be able to see it through the Torah, through the Tefillin, through Yom Tov, through all of those things. That's the famous Sfas Emes. But Rashi throws us for a loop here, and Rashi begins, and he says, what is the Ora Zu Torah? Why? Because initially, Shagazar Alein Haman Shelo Yatsku B'Torah. Initially, Haman made a decree that Klal Yisrael should not be engaged in Torah. That, what is the reference, Lahudim HaTorah? Because in that time of the Gzeira, of the Shmad, that Haman wanted to put onto the Jews, there was a ban placed on Torah. Also, again, Rashi at the end, he says, "Saz Dumila the Alakol Eilagazer." Haman made a gzeira on all of these things, which makes sense if you go through this. Meaning, if you thought that Haman just wanted to annihilate us physically, then what do you mean at the end? It should be like Hudim Haitzah Chayim. What do you mean like Hudim Haitzah Orav Asimcha V'Tos V'Ikar? It means there was some sort of threat or ban placed on these things. And when Mordechai overcame Haman at that particular moment, then all of a sudden the ban was released and Klal Yisrael had Torah, Mila, Yom Tov. I can never get all four in a row. Never had Torah and Yom Tov and Tefillin and all the Milas and all the good stuff. But it really flies in the face of something we've been taught as a kid, which is that Hanukkah, right. That's like the fourth grade Torah that we learned. That by Hanukkah, they wanted to spiritually destroy us, and by Purim they wanted to physically destroy us. But really by Purim, it sounds like, at least according to Rashi, which is, I think, the punch shot that took him, that there was also a spiritual demise, so to speak, that Haman wanted to cause. Now again, he also wanted to annihilate us, so let's not, you know, sell him short. But let's, you know, we have to understand what was the nature of the Gzeirah. Why was Haman so excited about making this Gzeirah, as opposed to just physically destroying us? It's interesting that there are those who say that, I think it's the Nesivis, how you read the Pesukim, you have to pay attention when you read the Megillah on tomorrow night. Wow, tomorrow night already, when it says, unfortunately this year I'll be listening on an empty stomach. You know, no thanks to you. You know, anyway, so last year I had the schluss of eating all time ancestor because both me and Arye, it was his bris, and I was the sandik at the bris, so got to press away good times. Anyway, so this year I'll be going with empty stomach, but you have the following questions. It says, if you pay attention, that Haman's request is lashmid, and lashmid comes from the word shmad, which is to make some sort of not a destruction, but shmad is when you make it that you're unable to do mitzvahs. And then Achashverosh responds, laharog, lahashmid, laabed, and all the other good stuff. So Efshir, it wasn't really Haman's plan. That's at least the shot of the Nesivis. But be that as it may, what was Haman's goal at this particular juncture? And then really, if we understand what Haman's goal and how we reacted to Haman's goal, hopefully we'll be able to understand what the Avodah is for Purim. So that's the objective of tonight. The objective of tonight is to understand what is going on. Let's understand the Muhammad, of course, of Haman is the Muhammad that we're always fighting. It's the Muhammad that goes all the way back to Amalek, goes back to, all the way back to Bishalach. We're fresh, we're hot, we're on fire, we had just left Mitzrayim, we're marching through the Midbar, hopefully on our way to Har Sinai, and all of a sudden, here comes Amalek. So Moshe says, Yoshua, you're in charge. Go pick some people, but say he lochem ba'amalek, and let's go to war with Amalek. Machar, which is a key word, I am talking to you for now. Anochi nitzav al rosh hageva, I'm going to go up to the top of the valley. U'matei alim b'yog, I'm going to take the stick of God with me. But he, really, Moshe puts it in the hands of Yehoshua to wage war with Amalek. So as a somebody who's a leader in a school, it's like, okay, first you think this is very good, because what he's doing is what we call empowering. You know, he's empowering Yehoshua to take the reins, the future leader. Here's your moment, Yehoshua. You're in charge, my deputy. I'm putting you in charge of this particular war, because eventually you're going to be the leader, and the way you develop leaders is by empowering them. But why Yehoshua Dafka? So there's a medrash here that explains. Davar Acher, Lama Yehoshua. Why Yehoshua? Amalo Zekenecha Amar, your Zayda. Who was Yoshua's Zayda? Goes all the way back to Yosef. And Yosef HaTzadik, in the decadence of Mitzrayim, and when all of Mitzrayim was basically, you know, it was not exactly a God-fearing place, what was the statement of Yosef? Eshalokim ani yarei. God, I'm the one who, I fear him. Ubezeksiv, and here, when it comes to Amalek, what's the exact opposite response? V'lo yarei Elokim. I don't fear God. Meaning, Yosef HaTzadik is the one who says, he's making the declaration that there's a God above, that's Elokim ani yarei, he's the one I fear. I don't fear my wife. I'm sure he does, but I don't fear anything else. What do I fear? I fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it comes to Amalek, it says, V'lo yarei Elokim. Comes the Medrash and says, Yavo ben Bino, comes along the Anakel, the grandson of Yosef, who is Yoshua, Shamar as Elokim ani yarei, the Yipare, and he's going to pay back Mimi Shinemar Alav Velo Yarei Elokim, that I don't have any fear. Meaning Zulo Mazu. We have this idea that there is an Amalek who's saying, I don't fear God, so who's the only one who could fight the Amalek? It has to be somebody who comes from Yosef. Yosef's the one who makes the declaration, God I fear, so therefore Yosef's grandchild, Yoshua. So it wasn't merely Moshe empowering Yoshua as the future leader of Klal Yisrael, but specifically it was Yoshua. It has to be Yoshua because Yoshua comes from the point of people who are saying, Es Elokim ani yarei. So it has to come from him. Okay. So this milchama of Amalek corresponding to Klal Yisrael is so obviously important to who we are as a nation. Because, you know, how often do we have Da'araisis? We read Da'araisis, we read this past Shabbos, we read Parashat Zohar. You know, right, whether Parashat Parah or not, it's a Shiloh.
Yeah, I was sure last week, maybe it's not so.
The Zohar might be Da'araisis for the ladies. Most people assume it's a derisa. As a matter of fact, we don't get so worked up about the women going to shul, although not in the women don't go to shul. Well, you know, a lot of the rabbis say it's not for the ladies, for sure not. But the Maisa, we Parsha Zohar, it's a mitzvah, whether or not we read it or not, but Zavri holds the mitzvah, Mechiyas HaMalik, right? The Pasuk tells us, says, first of all, when it comes to the seven nations of the world, the seven nations of Eretz Yisrael. Now the world says, the Pasuk says, Rak me'ari ha'avim ha'ilah, asher Hashem alokech ha'ndosim l'cha nachlo, lo sechaya kol neshama. Those, you can't sustain. You can't allow them to live. That's what it says by the Shiva Avimim. When it comes to Amalek, it's a very different tune. It says in Pasuk, v'yeh b'aniach Hashem alokech ha'lecha, mikol ha'ivecha, b'tzav v'aretz, asher Hashem alokech ha'ndosim l'cha nachlo yishtot, timcha zecha Amalek, it's so hard to understand it. Annihilate, erase the memory of Amalek from underneath Shemayim. Don't forget them. It's kind of hard, right? You ever try not to forget something? Just, I guess. I always wondered this, right? Remember the... Don't forget. Whenever you can't forget. Obliterate the memory of Amalek. Don't forget them. Like, what are you supposed to do? You have to remember to obliterate them. It's like... It should be like, forget them. Like, wouldn't it be better if a Amalek never existed? It's more than that. It's like, take them, you know, you have to have a Amalek in your head, remember a Amalek, who they are, and destroy them. Tilcha Zecha Amalek. How far does this go? Rashi says, Me'ish ad isha, man to woman, Me'olo v'ad yonek, from child to adult, Me'shor v'yatzeh, all the animals, Shlishe Amalek nizkar afilu al behema. You don't even want to say, you see that animal over there? That was an Amaleki animal, which of course was who made the mistake and left of the for Shaul, not only did he leave Agag alive, but he also left the animals alive. When Shmuel shows up, the first thing he asks about is, what are those noises? Referencing not the king, but the animals. Lomar behema zuz mishal amalek haitha. You should never ever remember. You should annihilate even the name. But it's like, ad kedei kach. We have to annihilate Amalek. When it comes to the seven nations of the world, seven nations of Eretz Yisrael, so the Shiva Amimin, just kill them. Finish. Move on. When it comes to Amalek, there's such an intense negativity to destroy the very memory of Amalek that there shouldn't even be an animal that we could associate with Amalek. And this is a very intense issue. And the Medrash tells us, "Lev b'shem Ravacha b'rei v'chanina omer, kol zman shezor shel Amalek ba'olam, anytime there is even a seed of Amalek in the world, lo Hashem shalom. The name of Hashem is not complete, v'lo akisei shalim. Avazar shalom malik, Hashem shalim v'akisei shalim. Eventually, though, when a malik is destroyed, then, eventually, we're going to have the kisei of a Kadosh Baruch Hu complete. And there's a famous Rebbe Chanan that he quotes here, that Rabbi Yochum quotes. What's the difference, ultimately, between the Shiva Amamin and Amalek? They both wanted to harm us. Right? When we showed up to Eretz Yisrael, Sefer Yehoshua, it wasn't exactly they laid out the red carpet saying, you know, come on, Klal Yisrael, enter into Eretz Yisrael, you have whatever you want, come do whatever you want. That's not the pshat. They didn't exactly roll out the red carpet. So Amalek waged battle against us, the Shiva Amimin waged battle against us. What's the fundamental difference between what? And therefore what?
They had a right to fight.
Oh, so Amalek went out of the way, but it's Amalek came from one end of the earth to us, right? But what did Amalek...
So
that's one. They always say that Amalek is always called the Rashis. Rashis Hagoyim. They're the first. They're the first when we were all hot. Asher Karcha Baderef, they cooled us off. It's like, you know, when you're in a jacuzzi and just...
Dipped their toe in the bath.
What? They dipped it. That's it. It was the end of the heat. But... The Medrash that we just read is highlighting something that's very fundamental about Amalek. Amalek necessarily wasn't going up against the physical embodiment of who Klal Yisrael was. Amalek was challenging the very aspect of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the chosenness of Klal Yisrael. It was kiviyachol l'hachis. It was, we're not interested that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen the Jews as his nation, we want to go up against them and say, go Mahatis, up against Kaiser. What was the Shiva Armament? So, I think Ben said it. Yeah, it was just a defensive tactic. But you could even say they were doing it for the, but really what it means is, what those Shiva Avanim were doing is they were doing it for their own sake. They weren't doing it lahachis chas v'shalom. They weren't doing it like against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was a defensive tactic because somebody was trying to take their land or what they thought was their land. So therefore they wanted to rid Klal Yisrael of it. It was a move meant for their own particular hana, for their own particular benefit. A malik is driving at what makes us unique and special, namely our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Medrash. Again, I read the Medrash says, Kol Vash Zarush Lo Malik Valam. If a Malik is here, their whole goal is to limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. Lo Hashem Shalim, the name of God is not complete. Velo Akifei Shalim, and the seed is not complete. Of Zarush Lo Malik, but eventually we're able to destroy the nation of a Malik. Hashem Shalim Vakifei Shalim. Ultimately, the name of Hashem is going to be great. If we're able to make the name of God greater when a Malik is not there. If a Malik is there, then a malik will take away from the name of Hashem. It's like the word, the shorish of the word a malik comes through the word malika. Malika cuts off, you know, the head, cuts off the head to the heart. So there's all kinds of terrors about that, that the connection that we have in our head, namely who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, entering our hearts, a malik is there to cut that off and to chop it off, that we're not going to feel that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At Shmos, at the very end, it says, Vayomer kiyad al kesh kof. And that's not a full name. Milchama LaHashem ba'amalek midor lador. This battle of Amalek and the absence of the Kisei is going to be for generation to generation. This is the notion of what Amalek is all about. Whether or not we went to shul for Parashat Zachar, this is mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, the destruction of Amalek, because Amalek, they're an ideologically opposed to God group. Crazy, you know, what does it mean to be Mechias Amalek? I saw a story this week. I don't know if you guys saw this. There was a story they tell about Gutzman. Gutzman was a chash of a Talmud Chacham. He was Rosh Yeshiva, I think of the Yeshiva called Netzach Yisrael. But he's got beautiful svaris. So they tell a story that he wanted to join the partisans during World War II. He wanted to join the partisans. But there's one rule. How do you get to the partisans? You have to bring with you a piece, weapons of sorts. So they didn't let him in because he was just coming with his hands. What is he going to do? So he was hiding out in the woods, and he saw a German. He went over, he stole the gun, so now he has a piece. But instead of killing the German with the gun, he put the gun on the side, and he choked the German to death. And he said, I used to look at these hands, and he goes, with these hands, I was able to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Whoa. And that's what he said. Apparently, it was a chashuv et havachachem. And like he said, what is Mechias Amalek? I had to destroy. They're trying to take away the name of, you know, Mein Kampf, it's Beferish, right? That the Jews are the conscience of the world. They bring down, you know, godliness into the world. And that was the objective, to obliterate that. So therefore, there was a mitzvah, Mechias Amalek. So he did it with his own hands. It should be a nice thing. Yeah.
I remember learning that that a lot of times, like, things like Amalek in the world, like, they're a way to get the Chira, because like the Kedusha of people, like of all, you know, like I think like, I learned this about Avraham, that the Kedusha was so much that without a counterbalance there wouldn't have been the Chira in the world, so that in that sense they serve a function.
Could be.
But
that without Amalek, we would automatically have free choice, would not have free choice, we'd connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
But then how does that work?
But then our objective is, so our Bechira is to try to back out Amalek.
Yeah, but Bechira is part of what makes the world the way it's supposed to be.
Yes.
But Hashem's Kisei is not supposed to be
We're supposed to do whatever we can. This is the punchline of the whole shir. But our whole objective is Asa Esav Hashem Chefa, to try to bring out the godliness in this world. And the way we bring out godliness with our Bechira is to annihilate Amalek.
Even though they're there for a purpose on some level.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you're supposed to live in that world. We're supposed to try to move. We're supposed to grow. We're not supposed to, okay, that's the way it is. I'll leave it, right? No, we're supposed to try our best to bring God's name into this world as much as we can. The Ramban echoes this theme, as does the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. These are two great sources. It says, Tama Onesh. Why do we have to punish Amalek? Shenana Shemalek Yotzi Kol Amim, Ba'avur Ki Kol Amim Shamu, V'yir Gazim. All the other nations of the world heard and trembled. Right? Lashes Ezer Moav Yoshe Kenad Namogu. They were always scared when they pachad Hashem u'mahadir gono. The Amalek, what they do? Somebody said this before. Ba Mimerachok. Gaber al Hashem. They came from a great distance to overcome Hashem. L'kacham Rabav v'lo yir l'kim. That's what it means. Before we started saying they had no fear of God. Vod ki ayunim esav v'karav lan. Like they were mishpacha. They were the enikel of esav. Therefore they were close to us. Over mitzaver al riv lolo. They came in to have a fight that didn't belong to them. You know that guy? There's always that guy, right? The two guys having an argument, the guy, you know, it could be a dumb argument about whatever it is, and the third guy comes in and tries to get involved. Happened today, my kids are playing baseball outside, so I have fourth graders. So my house is like the playground for the fourth graders. I'm going to. So I'm trying to eat my dinner piece, and I got fourth graders all over. Look, they're playing a game of baseball outside. And there's a shiloh whether it was fair or foul, and there is no resolution to that argument. There's never been, and there never will be. What are you going to do, go back to the videotape? So my eighth grade son sticks his head out the window and says, it was foul. Oh, you see, he said everything yelled at. What do you do? That's a mullik. Over Mizaber al Riv Lolo. You're getting involved in a fight that doesn't belong to you. What are you doing? Right? So that, what are you doing? Anyway, the Gemara Shoshana says, how did I shouldn't have said that, right? My eighth grade now is coming in. I told you I gotta tell you. Good thing my eighth grade is not listening. V&A. Famous, what happened? Famous is the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. I don't know if it's famous, but I think it's famous. Zidek Asher Yari Moshe Yadav Vigavri Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu had his hands up, we won. V'chiyad of Moshe Osas Melchama? Was the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu making the Melchama? Oh, Shavarot Melchama? El Olam Elocha called Moshe Yisrael Mestaklin Klapei Malam and Klal Yisrael looked up, not his hands, but to where they, you know, the appearance of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who b'shabden et liban lavi and Shabbat Shemayim, and they subjugated their will to the will of God. Hayim is Gabra, then they went. Because the war against Amalek is not a physical war. It is a spiritual war where Amalek says, we want to limit the presence of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. Not like the Shiva Amin fighting for their own need. We don't want the Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. We want it to be less than you think. Right? Low, whenever Amalek is in this world, the name and the presence of God is not in this world as much as it should be. So in order for a Klal Yisrael to conquer, to defeat a Amalek in that war, it has to be that they're mishabed themselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because what are you doing ultimately when you are subjugating your will to the will of God? You're bringing more godliness into this world. That's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Okay, all that's by way of introduction, so, right? The Mechava Amalek versus us is Amalek wants to limit God, we want to bring more God into this world. So what does Haman say? Let's go back to the beginning of this year. The song, Lahud Maisa Orvis Simcha Vasak Vikar. Can't see a lot. Anyway, so Lahud Maisa Orvis Simcha. So each one of these elements that we're going to go through now have an element that we utilize as a mitzvah to mekabel upon ourselves on some level, the Ol Malchus Shemayim, the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's done beautifully. It's just a beautiful Torah that each element. Let's go through them one by one. Tefillin. One time, be careful what you do in front of your Rebbe. This is this Gemara. Abaye Aviyotin Kamei the Rabba. Ben don't like this one. Abaye Aviyotin Kamei the Rabba. Abaye sitting in front of Rabba. Chazia, Rabba's Tavei Kabar Dechtuva. He was making too many jokes. Could you imagine such a thing? A Talmud in front of his Rebbe making jokes. It's like so hard to imagine such a scenario. Yeah. Amar, so he said, Amar, Vigilu Birazu Tzis, right? What are you making late sadas like this for? This is too much. Amar Lay, don't worry about it. Ana Tzilin Manchu. Amar Tzilin, I got this. What's the give and take here? Says Rashi something remarkable. The Havikad Vazach Tzul, he was making too many jokes. The Rebbe looked at him, Yotzmi Dai Vinira Kiporek O. There's nothing wrong with making jokes, especially if you're funny. The problem here was the Chalabadich Tuva, it was too much, and therefore, because he was making so many jokes, the appearance was that he was Porik, he was releasing the old, the yoke of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He said, don't worry, I got this. Why? Because I got the counterbalance, so to speak, the antidote, if you will, to Prekasol. What's that? Tefillin. Tefillin represents the oath between me and God. I got it. I'm wearing my tefillin. Right? I gave an example in my class the other day. The kids had no idea what I was talking about. I don't know if you will. It's an example that lasted 30 years. It used to be in the old days when we had TVs, we had antennas. Do you guys remember antennas?
Mm-hmm.
And like, sometimes you didn't, you remember them? You didn't get such good service. So you wiggled around the antennas, and then you got better service, right? Sometimes, you know, you had a little brother. Stay there the whole game, please. don't leave until the game was over. I'm telling this to my high school kids, they couldn't understand what an antenna was. Like, why would you have that? There was no, like, internet. There was no cable. Anyway, so the Levites, we grew up in the, you know, with the dinosaurs, we had these antennas also at the same time. Filling are the antennas. It's like the superpowers that give us the ability to connect to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. At that moment, the pre-Gadol, so he's like, no, I got it, don't worry about it. Rebbe, I can make all the jokes I want now. Now, again, it's ironic because you're not allowed really to make late tzaddis with your tefillin on, but in terms of the pre-Gadol Ola element, that was taken care of because the tefillin is Kabbalah Tzaddis. That's Aleph. Mila. It was Pashut. Sefer HaChinuch. Mitzvahs Mila. Mishar Sheh Mitzvahzu. Lefi. Sherat HaShem Yitzbarach L'Kvo Ba'am. To establish in his nation on Shahizil Yos Nakbe Al Shmo. He wanted to have like a spot on them. Os Kavua Begufam. He wanted to have a sign established in their bodies. Lavdila Mishara Abin Beturas Gufam. He wanted to have something in his nation that reshaped them, so to speak. Kavosha Hey Mavdila Mehem Beturas Navshosim. Just like we have a different neshama, which you can't identify. This is the hardest thing for kids to understand, like this concept of what we call, what the Kuzari calls it, Nyana Lokim. So even though physically one could look the same as a guy, spiritually we're totally different. We have a different makeup. There's a metaphysical difference that we have a neshama and they have a something. They have a neshama on some level, whatever it is, but it's a lower level neshama. So just like in the spiritual vein, there is a critical difference. The Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to have a physical difference to show that we have a special relationship. Ashemotim Mavum Eno Shava. But to show that, you know, our comings and goings are very different. And it was placed upon us. And I think in today's era, especially in that particular area, that really signifies the difference as where we're going to mevatel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to nullify ourselves. This is the area that we're going to give up. The Brit Kodesh, that area which makes us special. Of course, today we always refer to that as Yosef. Yosef is the one who was, and of course Yosef is the one who was the counterbalance to Amalek. It's not a coincidence. It all goes back to the same thing. Because the Brit signifies the special, unique oath between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It is that which is upon us all the time. The famous mitzvah of David HaMelech. When he had nothing on him, he felt bereft of all mitzvahs. And at that moment, he remembered, no, he still has the Brit and is happy. Because that's the Brit that never leaves us. It's constantly upon us. So that's number two. Moving ahead. What else does Haman want to take away? Yom Tov. Then you recognize this. B'sham na'alevan ir, v'shtachav alapanecha, b'sholosh pameh regleinu, kakosu, b'soy v'sechu. Right? We get a... You want to niggin? B'sham na'alevan... You don't want to hear me to sing. Anyways. Yeah, so there it says, v'shtachav alapanecha. We go up every Yom Tov, we go, and there's a shtachav, there's a bowing down. Right? The Gra says, on the word shtachav, this is by Bikurim. When we go up, we bow down. The Gra there says, turning over to page 4, the Gra says, Vishtachavisa Zechal, Kola Yosef Beis HaKnesset, whoever exits the Beis HaKnesset, Sarach Vishtachavel. You need to bow down. This concept of Vishtachavel, of bowing down on Yom Tov. Yom Tov, of course, is a time when we are supposed to what? Go up to Eretz Yisrael, go up to the Beis HaMikdash. The concept of the Shtachaveh, which plays such a major role in the Megillah, which we're going to see, that means subjugation to a higher authority. We say that in the liturgy of our Tefillah, that we go up and we specifically prostrate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Yom Tov symbolizes the time in which we transport ourselves to another place, and we submit ourselves once again to that higher power, namely the Kodesh Baruch Hu, of the Shtachaveya. So that's the idea of Yom Tov once again, as established by the Gra. And finally, Torah. Torah, of course, it goes without saying, right? It's, you know, everybody, if they ever want, you know, this is like, you know, the ABCs of anti-Semitism, that if you want to take away our unique connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you take away the Torah. But the Sefer HaMitzvot just says right away, it says, V'amar, avdehu b'sarato v'avduhu b'mikdasho. He compares the avodah. He says that learning Torah is an avodah. It's very interesting, meaning, we're going to quote a Ramban here in a second, that the idea of Torah, yes, it is all the Chachmas Hashem, and every time I learn Torah, I connect, and I'm learning, you know, whether I'm learning the Ratzon Hashem, or, you know, as the Balatanya says, or the Nefesh HaChayim will say that I'm learning Torah, I'm learning the Chachmas Hashem. So the very concept of learning Torah is an avodah. We always refer to avodah as something in tefillah, something in davening, but the Ramban here says something remarkable. Let's read this Ramban together. It says, V'kachamar b'sifri b'pasuk, the pasuk, Acher Hashem Elokechem Teachu, you walk after Hashem, v'osu tiro, you fear him, v'es mitzvot of tishmu, you keep all the mitzvot, u'b'kolo tishmu, and you're going to listen to his voice, v'osu tavodah. For him, you're going to, what does that mean? Avodah is b'sarasu. The avodah is in Torah. The service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we quote-unquote subjugate ourselves to him, avodah b'mikdasho. After Kodesh Baruch Hu warns us about God's all mitzvahs and dvarim, kulan lishmo b'kol yev ve'oso tavodu la'avod b'mikdash b'korbanos u'b'shir v'shtachavir sham kizeh yikra avodu. All of that is called avodah. And then he continues, v'erolei v'darshu od avodaso b'tzoraso lilmur ha'torah la'gospo v'gabhi avodah l'fana. Well, if he's that oso tavo, that's what you have to serve. Meaning, the very service of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not just an exercise in understanding a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a submission to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in our mental faculties when I begin to enjoy, not enjoy, when I begin to sit down and learn. It's a yoke on some level. It's a Kabbalah's all. All four of these things, Haman says, wait a second. So now let's play it out. You're humming for a second. I mean, we're just role-playing here, right? So you're humming for a second. And your objective is you're an Amalek. And as the tradition of Amalek is, you want to minimize the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the acceptance of the yoke of God in this world, because you want to minimize God in this world. So you attack these four things. Tefillah, Kabbalah Tov. Yom Tov, subjugating ourselves to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mila, the very oath that defines who Klal Yisrael is in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah, our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our mental faculties. And I am going to take away all four of those. Because Haman recognizes, the second I take away all four of those, I'm able to what? I'm able to minimize the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's ultimately his goal. That's his Mein Kampf. That's his, you know, his biography in which he's writing his thesis. Of this is the way I could destroy the presence, not just the Jewish physical presence in this world, but their connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world, and that'll make the world a better place, because we don't want a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. They want to, that's the whole objective of Amalek, going all the way back to the beginning of time. Fighting a fight that's not theirs. What are you getting involved with a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Who cares? What does it do with you? They just don't want God in this world. As we saw all the way back in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, we saw that back, all the way back to Amalek, their thesis statement, which we began tonight by saying, where they said the words that when we said the words, when Yosef said the words that I am as Elokim ani yarei, they responded by saying, V'lo yer Elokim, I don't fear God. That's their entire thesis. So let's play it out now. Why it has to be Mordechai? So Shaul was the first attempt to annihilate Amalek. But Shaul gets a little sensitive, and he feels bad. A little bit of a bad feeling. How could I annihilate an entire people? So Shaul feels bad, and he says, I heard their voices. You know, it's not easy. But who is Mordechai? Mordechai comes with tremendous presence. And we see here, v'lo kam v'lo zami menu. He doesn't get up. He doesn't look at Haman. He doesn't bow down to Haman. He doesn't prostrate himself. He dafka is willing to risk his life for the sake of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, v'lo kam v'lo zami menu. Mordechai has that character trait. He has that inner fortitude, so to speak. The ultimate emuna, where he's able to, where everybody else is eating in the palace of the king and enjoying the festivities of Ahasuerus, Mordechai is the one person, he says, I'm not doing this. That's not where we belong. Mordechai stands up. He says, we know that we're a separate nation. We're not supposed to join the other nations. That's our bris. That's where we stand. And Mordechai doesn't go. So the decree is placed on all of Klal Yisrael, but not on him. So what's our avodah? What's the avodah of Purim according to this? The avodah of Purim is fairly simple. Very often throughout the year, you know, Purim always comes at the end of the year. Purim comes in Adar, this year it's Adar Beis, so it's been 383 days since last Purim. And at the end of the year, oftentimes things get stale. And there needs to be a re-Kabbalah of sorts, a reaffirmation. And there needs to be that inner strength of a Mordechai. Mordechai and Moshe are pretty much the same person. The Medrash says that Mordechai and Moshe are equal, shuffle. So many similarities. What are the similarities between Mordechai and Moshe? Moshe went up the mountain to get the Torah. The rest of the Klal Yisrael served the Chet Ego. Mordechai, everybody went to Ahasuerus' palace for the party. Mordechai doesn't go. Mordechai, Moshe introduces the Torah to the Jews. Mordechai also reintroduces the Torah to the Jews. Mordechai has that character of Moshe where he reintroduces basically the concept of our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael after they were wavering from being in the Golus. But here I think it's an incredible idea, and I think it's going to put it all together. The Gemara in Megillah asked the famous Kasha. One Friday I gave a shir on this, and I remember I was leaving the house to go give a shir, and I said, my wife asked me, what are you giving shir on tonight? And I said, I'm giving shir on Hallel on Purim. She goes, I thought we don't say Hallel on Purim. I said, aha, aha, that's the good, right? Why do we say Hallel on Purim? There are three reasons given. Reason number one?
Megillah.
Megillah. Reason number two? Chutzar. So those are the two popular reasons. The third and least popular reason is? We're still under the rulership of Ahasuerus. It's too good of an answer, though. Because if we're still under the rulership of Ahasuerus,
I don't get it.
I didn't ask the question. Which part don't you get? Why don't we say Hallel because of that?
Yeah.
Because nothing changed. Like, Monday we were under the rulership of Ahasuerus, Haman made a decree, a week later we're still under the rulership of Ahasuerus, so what changed? The problem is, then what do we celebrate? If we're still under the rulership of Ahasuerus, what changed? No, so then let's say Hallel. So then what happened? I didn't die today.
You say Hallel
for that. Nope.
We don't say
Tassim. So, I think like this. Nothing changed, but everything changed. You know what changed? Klal Yisrael's perspective. The whole perspective. Purpose about re-accepting upon yourself something that you had the entire time, and it became kimu mashakiblu kvar, re-accepting what we had the entire time. Kimu, the Torah was there. Gemara Shabbos Peches, the Torah was there the entire time. Kimu mashakiblu kvar. We're reaffirming what we had the entire time, but that is challenging. And Purim reminds us that sometimes we take for granted what's the most important thing in the world. A malek tries to take that away from us. The avoda of Purim, or one of the avodas of Purim, shouldn't sound like when people say the, there's a thousand avodas of Purim. To reaffirm what we have the entire time. Our Kabbalah's Olmalkus, our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, which manifests itself through Tefillin, Yom Tov, Mila, Torah, reaffirm all those things. Once again, become excited about these things. Because sometimes we take it for granted. And the Amalek, whether it's a Haman who wants to physically annihilate us, or it's just the Gullus, just boredom, and there might be an NCAA tournament game on the same day, and all of a sudden I might want to do other things. But the opportunity that we have on Purim is to reaffirm and reaccept what we had the entire time. Because Amalek wants to take that away from us, and sometimes we forget how precious it is. But the most important thing that we have is the precious relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu of that of Kabbalah Sol Malchus. And that's how we have to reaffirm what Purim is all about. I just thought of this now. And it could be that Purim is Yom Kippur, and that's why we have Yom Kippur with Hashem Elokim. All right. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I just thought of that now. If that works, that just came off top, man. But the idea of Purim is nothing changed. That's why it's not a Yom Tov. That's why we're not saying Hallel. But really, everything changed. And it's our perspective that has to change. And we have to get excited once again about our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's the most important thing in the world. That's what Amalek wants to take away from us. And that's why today, after we hear Bechias Amalek last week, we're going to say that's a purpose. It's going to be a reaffirmation of what we already had that was so precious. All right, Zagaz Stark, thank you very much.